You find your place in Exodus chapter 20 tonight, Exodus chapter number 20. We've been in this chapter for a long time because this is the chapter that the Ten Commandments are found in. We are now through the Ten Commandments, and we're going to try to get through this chapter tonight. We're going to pick up our reading in verse number 18. If you're keeping notes, the title of this message, this is about part number 11, 12, 13, or 35. I don't know what part it is. But there are several parts to this one chapter here. But just helping you, just in case you're keeping notes through this, I took my title from the opening verse in chapter 20, verse number 1, All These Words. We looked at Roman numeral number 1 was the authority of these words, and that's the Lord Himself. And then we noticed the account of all these words, and that was the giving of the Ten Commandments. And then we pick up with point number 3 tonight. We begin our reading in verse number 18. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. When the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, Speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, Fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. And the Lord said unto Moses, Thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, Ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. Ye shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall ye make unto you gods of gold. An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings, and thy peace offerings, thy sheep and thine oxen. In all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. And if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone. For if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. Neither shalt thou go up by steps unto mine altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered thereon. Now you may read those verses and say, what in the world is happening? Tonight it'll all make sense as we continue with these thoughts, all these words. The authority of all these words, the Lord Himself, we saw that. The account of all these words, we saw that in the giving of the Ten Commandments, and we devoted a lot of time to those. And tonight we'll pick up with point 3. Father, we love you, please. Help me to articulate what you have given to me. Help me not to add to or take away from the Word of God. May you speak to us. Help me to preach what you have preached to me. And I pray that as you speak tonight, I pray that your voice is heard. And I pray that you'll speak to us thoroughly. Challenge us. Encourage us. Draw us close to yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. The third major point in this message on all these words is the after effects of all these words. The after effects of all these words. We see this in verses 18 and 19. Now, just going to do a Bible study with you here tonight. After the Lord gave all these words of the giving of the Ten Commandments, by the way, if anybody comes out of the giving of the Ten Commandments feeling good about themselves, they've got major problems. Because the fact of the matter is the law, the giving of the Ten Commandments, which the Ten Commandments are only part of the law, I remind you. That's a major part that everything else just kind of hinges on that. But these Ten Commandments do not prove how good we are, it proves how bad we are. So keep in mind that they have just been given all of these Ten Commandments. God has hit them right between the eyes and, more importantly, inside the heart. He has convicted them of their sin. Now, this being the case, I want to ask you a question. What happened as a result of all these words that they heard? Now, I want to give you two things here, and then we're going to give you a fourth point here a little bit later on. Two things that happened, two effects, I call them the after effects of what happened after they heard the giving of the law by God through Moses. Number one, under this, first after effect, they removed afar off. We see this in verse number 18. Notice the language. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountains smoking. By the way, you need to use your imagination here, friends. Okay? Moses has gone up on the mountain with God. God, with his own finger, is writing the Ten Commandments and thundering forth this message. They are seeing the lightnings. They are hearing the thunderings. And they're seeing all of these things take place in the mountain smoking. Now, with that in case, notice this. And when the people saw it, get this, here it is. They removed and stood afar off. You know the first thing that we see these words and the demonstration of God's power did? It was to do this. It was to bring a sense of fear into the hearts of these people to the point that they ran away from the mountain. They stood afar off from the presence of God. Now get this. The point here is the law of God does not bring us closer to God. It doesn't do it. The law of God shows us how sinful we are, and it strikes fear in our hearts in the presence of the holy, omnipotent God of heaven. What I'm saying to you is just like John Butler said, and I like it, I quote him here. He said, the awesomeness of it all was too much for the people. They who had to be told repeatedly to stay away from the mountain. Remember, before the law was given, God said, don't touch the mountain. Remember the story? We've already preached on that. They were tempted to get close to the mountain and touch the mountain. They wanted to get closer to God and get closer to God. But now when they saw His power and they saw His glory and they saw His demand and His holiness, they were running away from the mountain. Now, friends, I'm telling you, it says right here that those who were having to be told over and over, John Butler, to stay away from the mount, are now on their way moving away from the mount in great fear. They had witnessed a holy God, and their unholiness put them in fear. This is missing in our day, friends. This is missing. See, folks just think God is the big man upstairs. I'm not saying that like I'm saying it because that would be disrespectful. He knows my heart. They think he's just a big grandpa sitting up there and he's just out to take care of everybody. You listening to me? God is love. And I'm glad he's love. But he's also just, my friends. And may I say to you that the only attribute of God that is given in a Trinity is His holiness. In other words, it's the only attribute that is repeated three times. It does not say God, it does not say love, love, love is the Lord God Almighty. It doesn't say that. But it does say holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And the law shows you just how holy He is. And the first after effect of all these words of the law, of the demonstration of His power, the first after effect was they removed afar off. It sent them away from God. Secondly, second after effect, and boy, this is where it starts to get gooder and gooder. I'm saying to you, just thinking about what we have in Jesus Christ. Hey, the first after effect, they removed afar off. Second after effect, they requested a mediator. We see this in verse number 19. It says, and they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. You say, what's going on? Here's what's going on. These people, when they saw the holy majesty of God, and I'm talking about their God and the lawgiver, not just the law, but the lawgiver, they saw a display of His mighty power. They said this, we're not worthy to go to Him by ourselves. We need somebody as a go-between. Now you say, what are you talking about? Isn't it obvious? If you're saved today, you know where I'm going with this. And what I'm saying to you is that it's interesting what these dear people did when they were retreating from the mountain in fear. They requested Moses to talk to them and mediate between them and God. They had fear that further communication with God would bring certain death. They realized they needed a go-between. That's what a mediator is. He's a go-between. In order to have continued communication with the mighty lawgiver, they knew that they needed somebody to go on their behalf. Oh, how this reminds us of what we who are saved have in Jesus Christ. The law of God shows how sinful we are and makes us afar off from God. But through the mediation work of Jesus Christ, we who were once afar off have been made nigh. I've got right here in my notes, somebody say amen. I mean, think about it. Ephesians 2:13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. In other words, we who were afar off from God because of our sin, because of the demand of the law of God and His holiness and His righteousness, and He cannot look on sin, we were made afar off from God. But the Bible says we who sometimes were far off, we have been brought nigh. We've been made nigh to God by the blood of Jesus Christ. You know what that means? That means that He is our go-between. That means that in ourselves, we would still be afar off from God. In ourselves, we would die without Christ and split hell wide open. But thank God for the mediator, Jesus Christ. He came, He took God the Father in one hand, He took sinful man in the other, and through His death, His burial, His resurrection, He has reunited us with the Father. Now, friends, I'm going to tell you something. I know you're tired on Wednesday night, but that ought to put a little crank into your engine right there. I'm saying that you who were afar off, if you've been saved, God the Son grabbed you. And God the Son grabbed His daddy. And because of Him, He put you inside Himself. You are now part of Him. And that relationship between the Father and the Son, if you are now in Him, that means He has the same relationship with you tonight. Let me tell you how much God loves you as much as He loves His Son. Let me tell you how much peace you have with God as much as God the Son has peace with His Heavenly Father. You say, what are you talking about? I'm saying if you're inside Christ, things are looking mighty good for you, my friends. They requested a mediator. Hebrews 10 verses 19 to 22, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, get this, by a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say His flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. I've not studied the book of Hebrews. I'm looking forward to getting to it. But if I understand just reading that, what it means is this. It says we have boldness to now enter into the throne room. And the reason we have boldness is because through the veil, His flesh that was ripped, it says because of what He had, and because we now have a high priest, a mediator, over the house of God. The Bible says, because of all of that, let us draw near. Don't stay away. Come closer, God says. I want you closer to me. How can He say that? Because of what His Son did for us. Because of what Jesus did for us. And because of that, we who are far off, God says, come closer to me. I'm talking about what the law says, stay away, stay away, stay away. Jesus Christ fulfilled it all. And when you trusted Him, God the Father, who was coming at you in wrath and anger and going to send you to hell, now that same Father says, welcome home, my child. You say, what is it? That means, my friends, if you are saved, you are secure. You say, hey, do you know you're saved forever? Yes. How do you know that? Because I know Jesus will never leave me, never forsake me. You say, do you know you're going to be saved forever? Yes. How do you know that? Because if He sends me to hell, it means He's sending Jesus Christ to hell. Did you hear what I said? Because I'm no longer my own. I am in Christ.
He is mine, I am his, he's my mediator, and because of that, I was afar off, but now I am nigh, I'm in the bosom of the Father. He wants me, he loves me, he's going to let me spend all eternity with him because of what Jesus Christ did. I'm getting a little bit excited right there. You say, what are you talking about? I'm saying, it's Wednesday night, we're tired, I know it, but thank God for the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Thank God for the mediation work of Jesus Christ. Because of that, I am close to God. And friends, you can be close to him too. They requested a mediator. 1 Timothy 2 verse 5, there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. On our own, we will be left afar off from the presence of God, and we will spend eternity separated from him. But through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we can be brought into fellowship with the God of the universe. So number three, the after effects. What happened? What did it cause? It caused them to remove afar off. And that's what the law always does. It causes us to be drawn away from God. It doesn't bring us into fellowship with him, into relationship with him. It shows us how sinful we are. And he can't even look upon sin, the Bible says. It reveals to us our sinfulness. And because of that, it causes us to be afar off from God. But secondly, we already looked at it. They requested a mediator. And just as they requested Moses, we have requested Jesus. And because of his mediation work, we can be made nigh. Then there's a fourth and final thing to this chapter. And then we have made it through chapter number 20. And that is number four, Roman numeral four now. I see the aim of all these words. The aim of them, the goal of them, from God's perspective. We see this in verse number 20 all the way through verse number 26. I've already read it, but let me just break it down for you. In the closing verses of this glorious chapter, and it is a glorious chapter. I mean, it's not glorious to make us feel good about ourselves. But it is glorious in, I mean, just how rich, I mean, friends, how much is in chapter 20 of the book of Exodus. I mean, hallelujah. I mean, it is jammed, packed. And at the end of this chapter, it is very interesting how he closes it. It's very interesting. I call these verses the aim of all these words. What was God going after? What was God's goal here? In other words, what does God want to be the result of the law and the manifestation of his mighty power? Let me give you two things, okay? First of all, a healthy fear of God. Let me say it again. The key word is healthy. A healthy fear of God. Now, look at verse number 20. Let me show you what I'm talking about. See if you notice anything. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you, and that is fear may be before your faces. Now, did you catch it? Did you catch it? There's a word used twice in that verse. Let me read it again. Verse 20. Fear not. For God has come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces that you sin not. What's the word? Fear. Moses opens up by saying, don't fear. God's come that you might fear him. What's he saying? What does that mean? We see in these verses, verses 18 and 19, that these folks are scared to death, friends. They're scared to death. They're running away from the mountain. You would be too, friends. And I would be too now. They were running away. They were scared. And the first thing Moses says is, don't be afraid. Don't fear. For God has come to prove you that his fear may be before your faces. Why?
that you sin not. You say, Jody, what are you trying to say? It'll take me just maybe a minute or so here, two or three or 20. But the goal of these words, get this, the aim of these words was not to produce a fear that results in nothing but terror and confusion. You listening? Were they afraid, yes or no? Yes. But see them running away from the mountain. No thought about obeying. Just running for their life. Follow me? The aim of those words was not to get you so afraid that you run away from God. That's not the aim of these words. But rather to produce a fear of God that produces reverence and respect for Him that results in obeying Him. Do you understand that? In other words, here's what Moses is saying. They're running away. They're standing afar off. They're saying, don't let God speak to us. I mean, hey, if He speaks, we're going to die. You go for us. Moses, the mediator, says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid like that. Fear not that way. For God's just come down to prove you, that's all He's doing, that His fear might be on you. And His fear might be before your faces. That means everywhere you turn, you're thinking about God. Everywhere you turn, there's the fear of God. It's before your face. Everywhere you're going, it makes no difference where you're at. Wherever your face is, there's the fear of God. He says that's the aim of these words, that you fear God and that you sin not. In other words, God is going after a holy respect for Him that results in a holiness in you. This is where I get a healthy fear of God. It's not a fear of immediate death, but a fear of disobeying God. Do you see the difference? In other words, some people, they're just scared to death. God doesn't want that kind of fear. God wants the fear that you're scared to death to disobey. Boy, that is missing all over the place. You know, John Wesley put it well. He said, and I quote, "We must not fear with amazement, but we must always have in our minds a reverence of God's majesty, a dread of His displeasure, and an obedient regard to His sovereign authority." Boy, that is a powerful statement. May I say this to you? The law drives us to Christ. Amen? Yes? Did you realize that we have been commanded by God to believe on His Son, Jesus Christ? Now, it's a choice that He's given us. But it's a command that people disobey. Let me tell you why people don't trust Christ. They don't fear the lawgiver. They don't fear God that results in obedience to His commands. You say, where's that verse? 1 John 3:23. Listen to this. "And this is His commandment." His commandment. This is His commandment. Get this. "That we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ." In other words, the Bible says that God's commandment, His commandment, here is His commandment. Believe on My Son, Jesus Christ. What a stench in God's nostrils, friends. When you study the Old Testament book of Exodus chapter 20, just chapter 20, and think that you can add to your salvation. What a stench in God's nostrils. What a blaspheming thought to think that the Son of God didn't do enough. You know what I'm glad of? I'm glad He did enough to save my soul. Aren't you glad of that tonight, friends? And I'm telling you, friends, when He said it's finished, that's exactly what He meant. He meant it's finished. It's done. And I'm telling you that what this does, what God was going after, the aim of all these words, was not a fear to keep you far off. It wasn't that. It was a fear to show you, hey, He's holy. And if I come to Him, I need to obey Him. And the main thing you obey is believe on Jesus Christ. You say, what are you talking about? I'm saying the aim of these words was a healthy fear of God. Not a fear that makes you dread for your life, but a fear of breaking His heart. And a fear of disobeying Him. And a fear of not doing what He's asked you to do. Secondly, not only a healthy fear of God. By the way, before I give you the second thing, not only with unbelievers, that's the command that they need, a healthy fear of God to obey. You agree with that, right? A healthy fear of God that doesn't keep them away, but calls them to bow their knees to Jesus Christ and say, yes, I trust you as my Savior. But may I say this? How much can Christians learn right here, friends? How much can God's own children learn right here? How much can I learn right here? You may tell you the reason why I do my own thing sometimes is because I have lost sight of the holiness of the God of Exodus chapter 20. Because when I see His holiness and I understand His majesty and I see His grace in my life and I fear Him and respect Him with a healthy fear, it doesn't matter what He tells me to do, my answer is already yes, sir. Yes, sir. You show me somebody who is disobeying a command of God, and I show you somebody who does not fear God in a healthy way. The fear of God is lost, friends. It is lost. It is lost even in churches. And I'm telling you tonight, are you listening to me? We ought to be afraid to disobey God. Not a fear that causes us to tremble and bite our fingernails and cower off and not get out of the house because we don't want to make a mistake. I'm not talking about that kind of fear. I'm talking about a healthy fear. A healthy fear that says, God, whatever you say, my answer is yes. I don't care what it is. Just tell me what to do, my answer is yes. Let me tell you why. Because you're God. You deserve it. You're the lawgiver. You are holy. You are wonderful. And I'm afraid to disobey you. We have too many Christians today who are not afraid of anything, including God, including the Lord. And may I say this to you? God's been so gracious and patient with me. God helps somebody that says, boy, I hope he's hearing this. Boy, I hope she's getting this. No, God's speaking to my heart. I need this. I need this. The next time God tells me to come out of my comfort zone and walk over to that person, give them a gospel track, and I don't do it, you know what I'm telling God? I don't respect you. Let's stop sugarcoating it, okay? Let's stop sugarcoating things. Let's stop saying, well, he understands. I'm just not made that way. Really, he made you. He made you the way you are. And when he commands you to do it, he expects obedience, friends. That's what he expects. And I'm saying that the aim of all these words, the first aim of it was, is that he's saying, I want you to respect me and love me and fear me so much that you fear to disobey what I tell you to do. God, give us Christians like that. Make me a Christian like that. Secondly, by the way, Proverbs 16:6 alludes to this, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And get this. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. In other words, they see evil, they get away from it. Why? Because they fear the Lord. Secondly, I've said that three times now, I think, but here we go. The aim of these words was not only a healthy fear of God, but he concludes this chapter with a holy worship of God. We see this in verses 21 to 26. And this chapter ends with Moses drawing near to God. The people are standing far off. They've requested him as a mediator. And this chapter ends with him approaching the darkness, and he's approaching God. And the Lord speaks to him, and he gave him specific instructions. And you know, while the Lord could have ended this chapter any way he wanted, he could have. He said, I want you to go tell the people, here's how I expect to be worshiped. A walk through these verses will show that the Lord desires our worship of him to be holy. We are to understand that he makes the guidelines for accepted worship. Let me say that again. He, God, makes the guidelines for accepted worship. Man doesn't make those guidelines. Churches don't make those guidelines. And so-called praise and worship services don't make those guidelines, friends. God makes the guidelines. And among the Word of God, there are a lot of guidelines about worship, but there are some pretty good ones right here in these verses. And all these words should cause us to fall on our faces and worship God. I'm talking about just these, the Ten Commandments. All these words. God is saying, these words should cause them to worship me. And let me give you some guidelines to show them how to do it. You know what I like? I like it when God puts it in black and white. Don't you? There are other areas, there's gray areas. You know what I'm saying? Just gray areas. Them gray areas can get people in so much trouble. Because when it's gray and it's not black and white, somebody says it's white. No, it's not. Somebody says it's black. No, it's not. But if they stay in the gray, they get criticized from both angles. You know what I'm talking about. There's issues like that. But this issue right here is clear cut. How does God want to be worshiped? Let's walk through these verses. Look at verses 22 and 23. As you read them there, I'm going to explain them. The Lord told Moses in these verses, verses 22 and 23, to remind the people that they had seen that he had spoken with them from heaven. And they were not to make any gods of silver or gold to represent him. By the way, this is a repeat of the second commandment. They, get this. He wanted no mixed worship. You understand? He's saying, you tell them they didn't see me. You tell them they only heard me. And you tell them they know my voice was coming from heaven. And you tell them, guideline number one, don't you try to make me with your own hands. Don't you try to lower me to your own standard. Don't you try to make me something you can touch with your hands. Don't you try to lower me and try to worship me while you're worshiping something on earth at the same time. That's powerful. Don't you try to worship me in heaven and have something on earth that's drawing the same attention. Well, we could stop right there. That's hit me right between the eyes right there, friends. You worshiping God in heaven? Or are you worshiping him and your child, your mate, your job, your vehicle, your house, your bank account? No mixed worship. Secondly, verse 24, you can read it while I explain it. The Lord gave instructions for the people to make an altar unto him and to offer sacrifices. Their sacrifices would be accepted on God's term. In other words, God is saying this, tell them if they want to worship me, if they want to worship me, blood must be shed. If they want to worship me,
sacrifice must be made. And may I say this to you? True worship is based on sacrifice. May I say it this way? True worship is based on acceptable sacrifice. Hebrews 10, 10 and 12. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, talking about Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. That means that all these sacrifices, even the sacrifice that God's talking about right here in Exodus chapter 20, he's pointing them to a Savior. And he's saying, if you want to worship me, it'll be on my terms. And my terms is there must be the death of a sacrifice. I'm getting blessed right there. Because that's what Jesus did. The Bible says in those verses in Hebrews, it says, hey, all those sacrifices, every priest standing daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices over and over again, it said those sacrifices could never take away sin. But this man, oh, I love this man, don't you? This man, after he offered himself once for all, forever, for sin, forever, forever. The Bible says he took a seat. Well, there's a message there somewhere on what's it mean when he sat down. What does it mean when Jesus took a seat? I'm telling you, you cannot worship God without the shed blood of Jesus Christ on your account. You can't do it, friends. That's another guideline. Let me give you another one. Verse 25. The Lord gave instructions that if an altar of stone was made, then the stones were not to be carved, but left exactly as God created them. If the men used their tools on the stone, then the stones was now polluted. In other words, worship to be accepted of the Lord. Man's works or inventions must have nothing to do with it. If man has come up with it, if man's tools have carved what God made, if God made it that way and man fiddle-faddles around with it, and starts carving it, and starts making it more acceptable, because they think it would fit better if they would chip that off there. You understand? If man gets into it, man's works, man's inventions, God says, I won't accept it. It's polluted. In other words, the worship of God, he will share no glory with man. Guideline number three, worship me only and keep your hands off of it. Glory, friends. Who is this saying this? The lawgiver on top of the mountain whose thunders and lightnings are surrounding him in darkness. He's holy, he's holy, he's holy, he's holy. And he says, worship me, keep your hands off of what I've made. Let me give you a final one, verse number 26. Neither shalt thou go up by steps unto mine altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered thereon. There's some preaching right there, friends. But what's he saying? Let me quote some dear men of God, John Butler being one of them. He said, and I quote, in view of how they dressed in those days, this order put a high premium on proper dress. Steps would hardly cause any skin to show, but God wanted absolute purity in worship. Purity. Worship demands holiness. J. Vernon McGee, what a dear man of God, He said this, and I quote, "In that day a man wore a kind of a skirt, and to climb steps he would have to lift that skirt and his nakedness would be revealed." God says, "I don't want to see your nakedness." Now listen to this. J. Vernon McGee says, "That which speaks of the flesh, God cannot use." God does not want a display of the flesh in anything that has to do with His work. You say, what are you talking about here, Jody? The bottom line is the aim of these words is to bring a healthy fear of disobeying God and God-pleasing worship of Himself. And God-pleasing worship of Himself is God alone in heaven, nothing on earth to compare. God-pleasing worship is based on sacrifice of an offering, and that sacrifice is Jesus Christ. God-pleasing worship is not polluted by man's works. If God says do it that way, don't change it a way that you think is better for your arena of service. And God-pleasing worship is in complete purity with no flesh involved. God is not worshiped by flesh. The Bible says God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. I'm not saying that you shouldn't get excited. I get excited. I cry. Some people shout. Some people wave a hanky. Some people run an aisle. If God's in it, help yourself. If God is in it. But I'm telling you, you cannot base worship on what your flesh does. That is not Bible worship. Bible worship is internal. Did you hear what I said? It is internal. It's in your spirit, where you are worshiping God in holiness, based on the shed blood of Jesus Christ, giving it to God in heaven and nothing on earth to compare, and doing it for the glory of God and not man. And I'm going to tell you something. If Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church would determine to worship the Lord in those four ways, our church... Listen, we've got a great church. Honestly, we do. Thank God for it. What great unity we have here. Praise the Lord. Please don't let the devil get into this place, friends. Please. But are you satisfied? Can I say something to you as your pastor? I'm satisfied with Jesus. But I'm not satisfied with my worship. He deserves so much more, doesn't He? Amen, friends. Then why don't we determine to listen to all these words? See, the authority is God Himself. God gave them. We've already went through the Ten Commandments. See ourselves here. And realize that God is after something. You know what He's after? My respect. And my worship. That's all based on the sacrifice of His dear Son, Jesus Christ. You got it? What a chapter, friends. What a chapter. I'm almost sorry to see it come to an end. This chapter's helped me. I hope it's helped you. May God help us to see our sinfulness, His holiness, Jesus Christ's sacrifice, so that we who deserve hell can enjoy heaven for all eternity because of what His dear Son did on our behalf. And as we're saved today, if you're saved, if you know the Lord, may we get on our faces in humble worship and healthy fear of God, saying, God, I know I'm not saved by keeping the law. I'm saved by trusting Jesus, and I'm a born-again child of God.
But I understand something also, God. Even though you gave the law to show us our sin, I know the law is your will for my life. You understand? You're not going to be able to keep it all perfect. I know that. That's why you called on Jesus in the first place. But shouldn't we get on our faces and say, God, help me not to serve any other God but you. Help me not to set up any graven image. Help me not to take your name in vain in the way I live or how I talk. Help me to remember your holy day. Help me honor my mom and daddy. Help me not kill. Help me not steal. Help me not commit adultery. Even if it's not even with my hands, help me not to commit it with my heart, with my eyes. God, help me not to covet. Help me not to bear false witness. Those are the will of God, friends. That's what God wants you to do. So what am I saying? I'm saying, in conclusion, let us all realize that without Jesus, there's no hope of heaven. Amen, friends? And if you've never trusted Him, the law of God shows you how much you need Him. Because you must be perfect to go to heaven, but you are a sinner just like I am, and you need Jesus Christ on your account. But we who are saved, and it could be everybody in the room, see the mighty lawgiver in all of His holiness. By the way, someday I'm going to see Him face to face. Glory, I'm going to see God someday. Let me see Him now. And let me in my heart say, God, help me not to run from You in fear of being killed. Help me to run to You, respecting You so much that I'm afraid to disobey You. And let me get on my face and worship You. I feel the presence of God tonight. Just thinking about how good He has been to me. He has been good to me, friends. If you be honest, He's been good to you too. When's the last time that you fell on your face just to say thank You for the mediator? Thank You that when I could not make it, Jesus made it for me. Thank You that when I fail so often and I break Your heart, You don't throw me away. Don't you just feel like worshiping God, praising God for what He has done? So I'd like to ask someone to come to the piano, whoever's playing the piano tonight. Just begin to play through softly. God is speaking to your heart tonight. Maybe you've never trusted Christ. Maybe you've never been saved. Maybe you've been standing before God in your own strength saying, I believe I can make it. I'm doing the best I can. Friends, I'm telling you, the best you can is hell. Only Jesus is good enough for heaven. Have you trusted Him? Maybe tonight God's speaking to you, you're saved. He's just pulled up a seat beside you. Just reminded you tonight where you would be without Him. Where would you be without God? You know, I'm not ashamed to cry. I cry all the time. Most of the time I cry when I feel the Lord. I feel Him here with me tonight. I love to feel His presence. I'm inviting you tonight. Not going to have any singing. If you from your heart would like to get up and just come and get on your face, whatever the case may be, Let's all bow our heads, close our eyes. Let's not stand, just stay seated. If you'd like to come to this altar just to worship the Lord right now, would you leave your place? Come now. Would you do it, please? Just come talk to God. Pray, worship Him in spirit and truth. Worship Him in your heart. Praising Him for His goodness. Praising Him for His precious Son who shed His precious blood for you. I'd like you to look this way. We're just about done. I've been doing good on time. And I know that life gets hard at times. There's folks sitting here tonight and you have a broken heart. You're carrying a heavy burden. You know, I think when I feel the Lord's presence as I felt it tonight, what are these eyes going to see? Some glorious day. Glory, I feel good right there. What am I going to see yonder on the other side? It's not always going to be breaking, friends, if you're saved. That burden's going to be lifted. To help you carry it on earth, but one of these days He's going to stop it at the gates. You can't come any further than this right here. The Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You're going to see Him. Your precious wife's looking at Him now, Mr. Baskin. She has seen what we're going to see. Give God praise for that. Amen. Remind you tonight, if you're visiting with us, there's a visitor's card in front of you there in the pew. If you'd be so kind to fill that card out, take that card out to the Welcome Center. We'll have somebody there to greet you, to give you a special gift. Be so kind to do that. I'd personally appreciate that. If you're visiting with us, please take the time to fill that card out and turn it into the offering plate. Let me go ahead and dismiss all the bus workers, please. It's very important that the bus workers go to this meeting. It's in preparation for Vacation Bible School. So all bus workers, if you can go ahead and be dismissed, if you'll please do that. And on the Vacation Bible School questionnaires, we are still needing several bus workers. Reminds you that if we do not have five workers on a bus, that includes a driver, if we do not have five on a bus, that bus will not start. It will not leave this parking lot. I can't chance it. I mean, you understand all that, okay? So help us out with this. This is something that you can do. So help us out with that. And that's not a threat, that's just reality, okay? Because that's just the day and age we live in. The reason we're doing that, so many workers, is because when we take these kids home, it's getting dark on the buses. And we need enough workers to make sure that things are covered there, okay? So please help us with this. I appreciate your help on it, okay? Appreciate you being here tonight. God bless you. I want you to know I love you tonight. Most of you. I'm kidding with you. I love all of you. And we're here for you. God has given us a love for you, my wife and I, given us a love for you that's hard to explain. Covet your prayers. If you need us for anything, you call us. You're not bothering us. That's why we're here. You are the reason we're here. We're here for the Lord, but you're the reason. You understand what I'm saying? You're part of the fold. So if you need us, you call us, okay? Let's pray together. We'll be dismissed. Father, we love you tonight. Bless now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Steve McNeely, if you will stand out. Well, I tell you what, Brother Bob.